Todd Nettleton, a voice of the Martyrs. Yes, that's right. You hear Voice of the Martyrs Radio right here on Moody Radio Indiana each Sunday evening at 8:30. But he is also the author of a great book we're going to touch on and talk about in just a minute. But hey, Todd, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning.
Well, it's great to check in with you and hear what is happening. Of course, it's heartbreaking to hear all the things that are happening out in the persecuted church around the world. And one of the important things that I've been sharing as we've been speaking about this throughout the morning is this one more place that has got this anti-conversion law that is being put in place. Tell us a little bit about where this is and what exactly an anti-conversion law is.
Well, this is another state in India. The state of Haryana, which is in the northern part of India, has now passed an anti-conversion law. There are a number of other states in India that have already done this. And, you know, when you first hear about it, you hear, oh, the law says you're not allowed to bribe someone or threaten someone to change their religion. And you think, yeah, that makes sense. We don't, you know, we don't want people to be bribed into changing their religion. We don't want people to be threatened into changing their religion. But then when you look in further, what it really is we don't want Hindus to change their religion at all. We don't want anybody to talk to a Hindu about changing their faith. And if you choose to do that, you can be sent to jail. A couple of interesting things about the new law in the state of Haryana. One of them is the onus to prove that you're innocent is on the person who's accused of the crime. It's not innocent until proven guilty. It is guilty if you're accused unless you can prove that you're innocent. Another thing about this law is it talks about women and minors and low-caste Hindus, which would be like the untouchables. Nobody can talk to them about changing their religion at all. Doesn't matter, you know, if you bribe them or didn't bribe them. If you talk to them at all about changing their religion, that is against this new law in the state of Haryana. So Christians who are in this area look at this and say, you know, what does this mean for the gospel? What does this mean for evangelism? Are we ready to go to jail to talk to someone about our faith in Jesus Christ?
Well, is this the only region in India that is enacting laws like this?
It is not. The last count I heard, I believe, was 8 different states in India have some form of an anti-conversion law. And my personal favorite is one of the states says, if you're going to talk to someone about changing their religion, you need to go to the magistrate 6 months before you have that conversation and let them know. So, you know, hey, in October, I'm going to sit down with my friend Joe and we're going to talk about, I'm going to present the gospel to him. So I need to go to the courthouse today and say, hey, in October, I'm going to talk to my friend Joe. That doesn't even make sense. You know, so that's my personal favorite among these laws. But all of these laws are designed to protect Hindus from hearing the gospel. And, you know, in some cases, some of these laws were written specifically with Muslims in mind. They will talk about, you know, marrying someone and then having them change their faith. And so the Hindu nationalists in India are concerned about Hindus leaving the faith. They want India to be a 100% Hindu nation. They see any type of conversion as a threat to that. And so they are enacting these laws, and this new one in Haryana is just another example of that.
Yeah, and what's concerning about this, too, is this is not unlike what China is doing with making China the national religion. It's just that in India, Hindi is going to, well, it is the basis, and what they are intending is for every single person, ultimately, to become Hindu nationals, and that way they effectively control society. Is that not a mechanism for doing that?
It certainly is a mechanism for the government to maintain control. But you will hear government leaders from the party that's in power right now, the RSS, which is the national Hindu nationalist organization that is all over India. You will hear the leadership of that talk about India as literally being Hindu soil. The soil that we're standing on is Hindu soil. The only people that should be standing on that soil are Hindus. So if you're a Muslim, if you're a Christian, if you're something else, you should convert, you should become a Hindu, or you should go find a different place to live, because this is Hindu soil, that only Hindus should be here. So that's the attitude of the people who are in charge at the highest levels of the national government. It is the attitude that that party is also in control of many state governments. And that's where you see these anti-conversion laws being passed. Now, there is talk, there has been talk, about a national anti-conversion law, that they would pass this sort of at the national level. That would clearly go against the Indian Constitution, which promises religious freedom. So that's something that we're watching. So far, it hasn't happened. It hasn't come up for a vote, but it has certainly been something that's been discussed in the halls of power in Delhi.
My goodness, it is quite disconcerting when we hear these types of things. And it's something that we really can't fathom in our own country. You know, we have patriotism, but this certainly bleeds into other areas and other stronger concerns. Hey, one of the things that I want to switch gears here, and one of the things I want to talk about is your efforts at Voice of the Martyrs. You have always been concerned about getting a Bible into the hand of every believer, and you currently have the 500,000 Bible challenge that is going on right now. But you guys have kind of taken a turn to adjust to what is happening in world events in Ukraine. Tell us a little bit about what this is and how somebody can become involved in sponsoring Bibles that we're going to, you know, a one for one, that it's going to get into the hands of children and those who are needing a Bible in Ukraine as well as other parts of the country, other parts of the world.
Exactly. If you go to persecution.com right now, at the top of the page, there's a link to the 500,000 Bible Challenge. We are trying in this month of April to fund 500,000 Bibles to be delivered to Christians who have been displaced around the world, Christians who are being persecuted around the world, including Ukrainian Christians. One of the things that I think has been kind of underreported is in the areas of the Ukraine that the Russians now control, there has been a targeting of evangelical churches. There is a discomfort with evangelical churches in those areas. And so as we have seen, like you say, what's been going on in the world, we want to deliver some of these Bibles to displaced Ukrainian Christians. And that includes those still inside the Ukraine. That includes some of those who have fled across the border into some of the surrounding nations, but we really want to equip them with God's word, and especially children. Now, we think about those children who maybe aren't in school yet. Maybe they, you know, they have 24 hours in the day to fill. What better way to fill some of those hours than to have a children's Bible that they can read and be encouraged by and learn from? And so that is one of the countries where these 500,000 Bibles are going to be going. And we had a donor who first half of those, so 250,000 is where we started. He's asking people to give the other 250,000. So that's what's happening at persecution.com. And again, it is during the month of April. So we have about 8 days left, but we would encourage people come and donate one Bible, donate 10 Bibles, maybe get your Sunday school class together and donate 100 Bibles. But we want to a Bible for every believer. That's really the theme that we are working towards. Every believer in a hostile and restricted nation should have their own copy of God's word.
Yeah, it's been the things that we are hearing, and from our contacts at the Ukrainian Evangelical Theological Seminary there, I've been trading some emails with Ivan Rusin, who is the president of the of the seminary there, and he has been speaking about just what it is that is truly happening boots on the ground, and it is quite horrifying what the people have been experiencing. And this is so important and vitally important to the restoration of people's spirit in Ukraine. So thank you for expanding your efforts with that Bible challenge to include them as well. You know, when you go over to persecution.com, I want to encourage people to sign up for their free magazine. You can receive that each month, as well as becoming a prayer partner for Voice of the Martyrs, for the persecuted church around the world. Now, Todd, on Sunday evenings, folks here in Central Indiana We all hear Voice of the Martyrs Radio, and that airs here 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time in our region here. But last week you were speaking with Dr. Pam Arland, who serves on the International Leadership Team for All Nations. Tell us a little bit about what is happening and coming up on next edition this Sunday evening.
Well, I really want to encourage people to listen this coming weekend. We are right in the middle. In fact, we're kind of getting towards the end of the month of Ramadan, which around the Muslim world, Muslims are fasting from sunup to sundown. They are trying to earn Allah's favor. When they die and stand before Allah, they want to say, hey, during the month of Ramadan, I was very faithful about my fasting. And so they are doing that this month. It is a crucial and strategic time for us as Christians to pray for God to show up in the Muslim world, to pray for God to draw people to himself. Muslims who are seeking God, they're thinking about spiritual things. They're thinking about eternity. And so what we're doing on the radio program this coming weekend, we're going to have kind of a concert of prayer and have different people join us to pray. And many of them are former Muslims. They were born in Muslim families. Maybe they are somebody who is working in a Muslim context, in a Muslim country, and they're just going to kind of guide us as listeners on how we can pray for Muslims during this month of Ramadan. And like I say, we're coming to the tail end of it. One of the final nights of Ramadan is called the Night of Power. Many Muslims around the world will stay up all night long. They will pray all night long. They think that prayers on that Night of Power have sort of extra, you get extra credit if you pray on that particular night. And so that's a night we really want to be in prayer that the Holy Spirit will show up, will bring Jesus into the hearts and into the minds of Muslims who, like I say, they're seeking God. They're seeking eternity. They're seeking God's approval. This is a key time for us to pray for them.
All right. Well, we're excited to be able to participate, to listen and tune in at 8:30 p.m. right here Sunday evening on Moody Radio Indiana for Voice of the Martyrs Radio. Well, Todd, we greatly appreciate you sharing all the insight, the knowledge about what is happening around the world through your team, and we wish many blessings upon everybody for their safety as well around the world, and we just appreciate the work of Voice of the Martyrs. So thanks for joining us this morning, man.
It has been my pleasure. I hope you guys have a great weekend.
You as well. Enjoy it.